It is exactly 7:45 on a Saturday morning. Time to bring in Ted Farrow from Haskell's with another wine chat. Ted, good morning on this kind of nice holiday weekend.
Isn't it amazing how nice it is? I mean, usually it's, you feel like you're in a sauna or something. It's so hot and steamy on Labor Day, especially with the fair going on and all that. It's always unbearable at times.
Yeah, it really, looking at that forecast, not only for tomorrow, but Labor Day itself, looks pretty good, too. So I would imagine big crowds at the fair. In the meantime, what's on tap today for us?
Well, what's on tap for us today, Denny, is I suppose I'll change it up a little bit and talk a little bit of spirits. I'm currently in San Diego, shoving my last child off to university. And so we're down here in the lovely town of San Diego. And I was kind of doing some quick research. And it's kind of interesting. It's little neighbor town to the south, Tijuana, is the home of the margarita. And, since we're here in San Diego, I figured I'd have a few margaritas last night. But then today, we'd sit and talk about that. It's such a unique drink because a margarita, they don't know the exact origins, but they're pretty sure it happened in Tijuana, a little restaurant where there was a Ziegfeld Follies girl that would come down there and visit, and she was a little bit allergic to other alcohols. But for some reason, she didn't have a problem with tequila, so the barman made her a little tequila with some lime juice, maybe a little Cointreau to kind of smooth it out, and just enjoyable. And there's a big mystery of exactly where the margarita generated. There's other stories. There was an old Dallas socialite that had fabulous parties down in Acapulco, and people tried those and went on and thought they were just fantastic drinks. But those are a little bit later on in the 40s. And ironically, what really perpetuated it was one of the Hiltons of the Hilton family hotel chain who attended one of those parties in Acapulco and fell in love with that drink so much that he put it on all their menus on all their hotels across it. So it really started expanding. And then there's an old recipe book in the 40s where the first written down version of it was written down by the Cuervo company. And so it's a real unique and mystic drink. And the nice thing about it is nowadays there's so many derivations. Originally it was all just lemon juice. And then now there's strawberries and there's mangoes and there's papayas. There's all kinds of things that you could add to it. And then also little derivations, some people like it blended, some people like it on the rocks. But more importantly, now you're seeing interesting things. People, you usually put a little salt around the rim to make a nice little squeeze of lime. Now there's all kinds of fancy little dips that you can put in there, whether some people even use a little taco seasoning, a little bit of habanero pepper, that kind of thing around it. So it's a fun drink and so simple to make because usually it's about two fingers of your favorite tequila and then about a finger of your Cointreau or kind of a triple sec, so to speak, an orange flavored liqueur, and then your lime juice, and then you shake that up and pour it over rocks. And, it's so nice, on a wonderful weekend like this to brew up a batch of margaritas and have some people around, just to enjoy it. If you're coming home from the fair, a great way to do it. The interesting component of that particular drink, though, is tequila. Now, tequila has it's a Mexican spirit. It's made right outside of Guadalajara. Now, the overall, they've been making some derivation of tequila in Mexico for centuries. But a long time ago, what it was called pulque. And pulque was literally the agave plant that they fermented. Now, agave is the key essential ingredient into tequila, the same way corn is the key essential ingredient into bourbon. But the agave plant, and it's this huge cactus, it's amazing how somebody decided to turn that into a liquor. Things must have been awful harsh to look at that thing and say, hey, let's drink from that. But, so that down in a certain area, now you had this pulque, and it was a fermented paste of the agave plant that the indigenous people used to do. And then after the Spanish influence, they realized what they could do is distill that pulque and make a spirit out of it and refine it and make it a little bit nicer. So hence they started that. Now, overall, throughout all of Mexico, they make a spirit called mezcal. Now, mezcal is the same thing. It's generally a spirit derived from agave or a cactus plant throughout the world. But similar to, let's say, a champagne, only tequila can come from the region of Tequila, and that is right outside of Guadalajara, near a little town called Tequila, and it's a, you know, immense area. So they say all tequila is mezcal, but all mezcals are not tequila, because they come from this special place. And if you look around, they have this rich, rich red soil, this volcanic soil that just does wonders to that agave plant when they grow it up, and they wonderful little thing. But you know, they it would be interesting. You see these guys harvest these things, and it's incredible. These guys go out in the fields, and they are called the jimadores. And these guys have these huge blades on a stick that they shave all the spikes off the cactus. And then they have this large ball that they call a piña. And that really means pineapple, because that's exactly what it looks like, a huge pineapple. And then they truck those off, they steam them, and then they grind them up, and then they distill that tequila into the spirit that we know. And there's several different derivations of that particular type of spirit, where if you just, generally speaking, once you distill it and it comes off the still, you could be finished. And those are, they just call blancos. And that's just a white tequila. It doesn't get any oak exposure whatsoever. Then the next phase, which you might see, is reposado. And that is a derivation of the word resting. Now, a reposado has to be aged at least 2 months in a barrel, up to about 12 months. So the coloration on that's a little bit lighter, a little bit softer, but it still has a little bit of brown coloration to it. And so a little bit smoother. And lastly is the añejo. And that's usually aged maybe about a year and a half, maybe two at the most, depending on the wine or the distiller. There's a few other derivations of Cristalinos and all that type of thing. But tequila is a wonderful, wonderful spirit that people are really embracing nowadays. And it's actually facing kind of a renaissance right now, because there's been these influencers and all these health craze people that found that the sugar levels in tequila are a lot lower than, say, some of your other spirits. So people are kind of flocking toward tequila and really picking it up and enjoying it and imbibing it. You know, years and years ago, the only tequilas you ever saw was the Jose Cuervo that was on it. And quite frankly, a lot of that was, about 50% of it was distilled spirit, you know, basically vodka that they would cut it with. And it was inexpensive. Usually most people went off on spring break and maybe imbibed too much on that tequila, that cheap, bad tequila, and never want to touch it again. And that's not the case. I really think people should go back and try it, because there's so many elegant, wonderful tequilas. And, you know, it's interesting, especially in Mexico, but you're seeing it now in the States. People drink that pretty much neat. You drink it almost out of a cognac glass. It's so delicious. You know, it's interesting where years and years ago you just thought it was a cheap college drink, and now people are really taking hold to it and really enjoying it. And that's the great thing about that particular spirit. There's so many to choose from. But remember, only tequila comes from the town of Tequila, and the Mexicans have lock the laws that protect that brand and protect that area the same way the French would. And the one key thing that you always kind of want to do when you're shopping for tequila is make sure it is 100% agave. Even better is 100% blue agave. And that is the cactus that goes into the drink, and they're using 100% of that. It's not being cut with other spirits. It's not being cut with you know, a little bit of water or whatever. It's a real deal. Great thing, and those producers are proud to put that on that label, because you know it's the real McCoy as far as a delicious tequila that you can sit down and make. And, you know, nowadays, at one point, yes, you know, most of those tequilas were on the inexpensive side, under $10, under $12, and that's all you really saw. Now you're seeing tequilas range even in the hundreds of dollars, small production tequilas. But one of my favorite tequilas that we picked up in the last few years is called Vizon. V-I-Z-O-N. It's a great little tequila. They have the Blanco, the Reposado, and also the Añejo. But the nice thing about that, price points are just fantastic, about $20 or a little less for the Blanco, and perfect for making that margarita. You know, it's inexpensive, so you know, maybe feel a little, you don't feel price tag inhibitive of putting some of these fancier ones in there. It's truly enjoyable. I really like it. And then also, when you mix in that other spirit, you know, originally the recipe called for Cointreau, which is an orange-flavored liqueur, a little bit on the expensive side. It's about $30, $40 a bottle. you know, maybe you don't want to do that. Or in some cases, people use Grand Marnier as well, because that is another orange flavored liqueur. But you could always use a triple sec. And a triple sec is a little bit more inexpensive, but we have one called Paisley and Sage that makes a brilliant margarita when you sit down and, you know, crack that open, mix it all up and blend it all up, and you'll sit down and, you know, when you pour that pitcher and have those glasses all salted up and filled with ice and poured out, it'll be a great way to kind of wrap up and enjoy this holiday that we're having, especially enjoying the temperate weather that is so nice. So I would highly recommend whipping up a batch of those margaritas and enjoy the day and just be thankful.
Well, I tell you, I'm looking at a text from a listener, and the listener wants to know, what's the story about the worm in the bottle?
Well, now that's the old mezcal, and they always talked about the worms. You know, there was worms that would be in there, and originally it was maybe an accident that it slipped in there. And then now that was the old, Albad mezcal that used to put the worm in the bottle. And that was always a little joke, too. They said it was a bit of a hallucinogenic, so if you ate the worm, it was a little badge of courage on that. But the worm on that one was the old Albad mezcal that people would put that in there, and then it just became a little bit more of a gimmick. But, you know, God bless those who want to try.
And my college Spanish, that was El Gusano. It was called, as I recall, yes.
El Gusano was muy peligroso.
Yes. A buddy of mine gave me a bottle of that once 25, 30 years ago, and I kept it so long the worm disappeared, and I never did try it. Anyway, let's talk a little bit about Haskell's before we run out of time. I mean, this is a holiday weekend. Haskell's has many locations around here, and you guys have been around a long, long time.
You're correct, Eddie. For 91 years now, we've been around the Minnesota area doing all kinds of things and bringing spirits and wines to all of our Minnesota patrons. We truly appreciate you all. We have a Haskell's in downtown Minneapolis with free parking on the weekends. There's a Haskell's right across the Ridgedale Shopping Center in Minnetonka. There's a Haskell's in Highland Village right off of Ford Parkway. We also have a Haskell's down in Lomans Plaza, right in Bloomington, where there's also a Haskell's. If you're out on the lake enjoying this last bit of Labor Day, stop by the Haskell's in downtown Excelsior right off the lake, pull up to the dock, even grab a burger in the bar. We also have a Haskell's in White Bear Lake if you're headed out east. Or if you're going on the river, stop by Haskell's Stillwater, headed down south, pull over off of 35 and stop into Haskell's Faribault. If you're on your way north, go to swing by the Plymouth store right off of Rockford Road, or stop by that super cellar of ours up at Maple Grove. Get all your tequila needs, get all your margarita needs, and finish off this lovely Labor Day weekend safe and sound.
And a listener wants to know again, what is your favorite tequila to taste?
The one in my glass.
Ah. Very good. All right, Ted, thanks a bunch. Now, what are you going to do this holiday weekend? Anything special?
Well, I'm out here in San Diego bringing my daughter to school, so I'll be setting up college dorms for the next 3, 4, 5 hours, and then maybe I'll get down on the beach and have one of those margaritas we talked about.
Well, fantastic. You're calling us bright and early here from San Diego area. Well, best of luck to your child, and let's talk next week.
I look forward to that, Denny.
Take care. Bye-bye. That's Ted Farrell from Haskell's. I wanted to make mention to Ted, too, that I had mentioned earlier this morning. Holiday Vacations called me, and they want me to host a tour to Austria and Germany. It's only 8 days, going to be next year, the end of September, the real Oktoberfest. Fantastic. If you've never been there, it's an unbelievable experience. I don't have time to go into details, but if you want to get on the web, holidayvacations.com, keyword WCCO radio. You're going to learn all about the itinerary. Fun time. It's only an 8-day tour. Austria and Germany, fantastic scenery. And great beer, too.